a different purpose, and it was no longer egotistic and temporary. It was bigger in scale and reliable, like I can bet my life on it. And it happened not because I was holier than thou, but just honestly being face to face with death that turned into face to face with God, that kind of experience. My name is Shai. I have a blog called All God Things. It's a daily quick bite blog based on God's word that are told in a simple way. I'm a multimedia arts and filmmaking graduate, and I mostly share things that are related to Jesus. Today will be like a story time episode where I will actually tell a very personal experience. I haven't shared this to anyone before. I guess we're getting deep and personal. Hey, welcome to this podcast. You are one of my very first listeners for this series. I'm so glad that you're streaming this and that you are joining me on the journey. I'm going to be the host and interviewee. It's just me. If you're cool with that, let's go. If you are new here, basically, I am convinced that Jesus is God. He's the only one that can forgive me of my error and wrongs. So every day, the big idea in my life is to live, love, and look like Jesus. If you are already thinking that is not me at all, I don't believe in Jesus, the awesome thing is that this is a wide open space. This is a place to celebrate humanity. I'm just glad that you are here, no matter what you believe about God. We've got way more in common than we don't. We're all human beings trying to figure out this life. So this podcast is all about ideas and stories that uplifts, encouraging each other to find healing and to grow as better humans. I know someone can use this in their life, and I know it is going to bless you. As I was thinking of what to share next, and initially wanted to just share scripture with you and then we can just deep dive into it, but then I changed my mind. I feel like there's nothing like real life to remind all of us, me included, the reality of God amidst the mundane, the complicated, the unique, the common, the glorious stories of our lives. So I decided to tell you today this one particular story in my life. So I've always kept the story in my pocket, reserving it for the day when I'll finally be world famous, and then I'm going to write a memoir with my self-portrait as book cover. People are going to buy it, and then they're going to know this episode of my life. They'll be inspired. It will lead people to God, and then everything will be awesome, and then maybe I'll get to retell it to Oprah. Haha. But then lately, I've had this existential awareness in a good way that I'm not really sure how much time I've got. I mean, all of us are. For years now, I've never been afraid of death. And I think God trained me to be this way because of this scenario. This is the when. In my early 20s, I was in the process of getting my requirements in order because in a few weeks, I would be going to film school. That very move also was guided by God. And then this is the what. But one day, I just had a fever and I didn't make a big deal out of it. And I thought I just needed to rest. Then it came to a point where I shivered at night. And then we really had to go to the hospital by that time. And even then, I didn't think much of it other than it was just a hassle. I could be doing something else with my time. Then we had to get confined. There's a hospital and all that. And even then I was thinking I'd be out in a few days and my head was in the things that I was gonna do in the following days. But then the few days turned into a week and then another one. And then the doctor told us there was no cure for dengue, which is that was what it was. And even then, I was still relaxed because I've had schoolmates have dengue when I was a kid. they'd be absent for a few days, then they were back like nothing happened. And I never really thought that it was something like life-threatening or anything. Then nurses kept coming in every after 4 hours to take blood from me. And a lot of them couldn't get it right. Like they had a hard time looking for my vein in my arm. So after I think around a day or two of that, every 4 hours, they took blood from me and my arm, the spot where they kept taking blood from and they kept making mistakes. That part of my arm turned to greenish black already because of all the bruises from all that. And then the doctor and nurses who kept coming in kept giving us negative results. And it reached the point where the platelet count became so low that I needed help from someone to get up from the bed and walk to the bathroom to relieve myself so I couldn't stand on my own. So by that time, people started praying for me, especially the church. And then we needed blood transfusion and the request for it in the hospital was so long. There are a lot of pending cases. They set the record book where I guess they keep the request for these things go. I don't know, but they said this book was so thick and a lot of people in the hospital were waiting for blood and haven't gotten it. So it was just, basically it was just looking bad at that point. They even said there was a child in the same hospital who were in a similar case and that kid died. But I guess, I mean, at the time, I was still calm. I had cable TV. I was having food delivered and I have like a cute nurse, haha. Other than the annoying needles, I was still fine and cool. I still wasn't making a big deal out of it. By God's grace, we got a blood for me through the help of our church community. After the blood transfusion though, while I was recovering from it, the doctor told us that if the platelet count still doesn't rise and it hasn't been for days, it could mean it was dead and that was it. And my body started not reacting properly to the blood transfusion and the plasma transfusion. And I was just having negative reactions and it was just really looking so bad at that time. Anyway, I call this part the act two of the story, also known in script writing or storytelling or theater as the confrontation. Through all that, a thought entered my mind. This is it. This has happened because I was a bad person. That thought really entered my mind. It's so wrong when I look back now. But yeah, that was my initial thought. And then after a while, I rehearsed the cross. And then after a while, I rehearsed the process of salvation in my mind. Jesus died. Sins paid. Jesus rose. Grace happened. The whole thing. I was a new Christian back then, so I had to do all that and replace my years of old way of thinking. And in rehearsing that salvation and the truth of Jesus, I was reminded that, hey, it's not true that I was a bad person. That's why it was happening to me. Because of grace, God loves me now. God is for me. The price Jesus paid on the cross is finished and final. This is not happening because I'm bad. So the next thought is, if God loves me, then He allowed this to happen. So there must be a good reason, even if it looks bad. So in that moment of feeling weak, physically and emotionally, facing the possibility of death, I've never felt that feeling before. It's getting past the tension and feelings of that moment into actually asking myself, knowing the truth that I know about life, heaven and hell, am I ready to go? Am I ready to die? A question not everyone asks for sure every day. I think it's a moment where you can test your faith if you really are sure where you are going after this. Guys, there's nothing like it, man. And you know, I said yes. I think it was God's grace that put my heart in that place. So I'm like, no matter what happens, I'll be okay to go. So peace then entered my mind and my heart. So I guess I can call that grace number two of the situation. A few seconds though, and then after that thought, I realized, okay, wait. If I'm going to heaven, if Jesus will take to account and reward us in heaven for everything we've done, then might as well try to earn more brownie points. Because I was literally just few months in being in faith, and I think all I did was go to Lifehouse concert and mention Jesus on my birthday on Facebook. So what's going on my mind was, I haven't had time to acquire my rewards. If it's gonna be forever, might as well make an effort to make it more sweeter, right? So I realized I wanted more time. Does it sound funny? I was actually serious back then. So I figured, if I can make a bargain to God. And this is Act 3, the resolution. So I just spoke in my head and I said, I know you are there. And all this time I was doing all these Christian activities and structured prayers. This time I just talked to him directly and personally, knowing that I can actually die anytime soon. I felt like everything led to that space where I have to get outside of religion, family, expectations, and what was happening, and just talk directly to God. I told God what I was gonna do if I was given a chance. It was serious business, and I don't know, I just felt God's presence there. After that moment, I went to sleep, but my heart was in a different place. I was ready for whatever He decides. I knew that whatever the result from my blood test was would be God's answer. If it says it's bad news, then I was okay. I was ready to die. I was ready to go. But if that result says it's looking up, then I knew it's grace. I was fine which way it would go. And the next day, in the morning, the doctor came in. I woke up. He said the results are good and clear. And that was it. My friends later came to visit. They made me laugh, even if it hurts to laugh. A few days after that, I was out of the hospital. I got better and better. Then a few weeks after that, I packed my bags and I left my city onto another one. We got an apartment, then I started film school. A year after that, our student films would be in film festivals, including Cannes Film Festival, and win awards and so on. Plus, a handful of people I went to that school with are now believers of Jesus Christ. Because I came in that place with a totally, I guess you could say, a new heart, a heart for people to know Jesus. Because everything He said is real. I came into that new phase of my life with a different purpose, and it was no longer egotistic and temporary. It was bigger in scale and reliable, like I can bet my life on it. And it happened not because I was holier than thou, but just honestly being face to face with death. That turned into face-to-face with God, that kind of experience. That process wasn't pleasant at all. It was mess, anxiety, and all other drama. And I think the enemy tried to stop me. It was an attack from hell, even though I was unaware. But God used that and turned that for my good. Can He teach me lessons without the bad things? I wish. I just don't know why God works that way. I think something really beautiful came out of it. I don't think I would have glorified God the way I did if that scenario didn't happen before all the good stuff. And I'm thankful for that. Today, I still hear well-meaning people say, God can use the bad to turn it for something good. Sometimes, I still struggle to believe it. It's just never fun, bad, weird stuff. But if anything I can tell you from that experience, oh my God, guys, God is real. He is real. I spoke to Him, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt. Whew! Whew. Deep stuff, I'm telling you. I haven't even told my best friend that, if I had one. I know someone needs to hear this. I know God wants to speak to someone through our encounters and experiences with Him. So, I don't know. If you're going through something you don't understand, if you believe in Jesus, He doesn't hate you. Weird stuff just happens sometimes, even to good people. Or sometimes the devil just tries to stop you from receiving something really good. And Jesus can turn the darkest episodes into something so glorious and beautiful in a way that only He can write. There's always a reason why a good father will allow some situations to happen. Because see, Jesus, the King of Kings, a holy God, was crucified and mocked by just us, mere mortals. It was an ugly scene. And just like in the movie Passion of Christ, you can see the depiction of the enemy while Jesus was being crucified. He was like smug. He thought he was winning. He delighted in seeing bad things unfold like that. Everybody else were unsure what was going on. That's how I imagine how the enemy is whenever he thinks he's got one of God's children down. But if you lean in, just like how God turned the crucifixion of a blameless Son of God, rose him from the dead after 3 days, that would cause victory and resurrection and life and hope for mankind going on for 2,000 years now and will still go on forever. He can also do the same for you and your very specific situation. He can also turn things around in your life for your good. He is approachable. Through Jesus, we can speak directly to the heart of God. It's a privilege we now have access to. I hope you enjoyed that story. If you like more faith-related blog posts, you can go to www.allgodthings.com. If you'd like to follow along on my journey, I am on Instagram. It's at @shandeycone. So what I love in preparing this is that we haven't talked specifics but the God moments that can change people. I know that a lot of people are struggling right now, and I heard a survey that the rates for people feeling lonely is in an increasing amount. It's in situations like that that God draws close to us. The next episode will be something similar for me. It will be something soulful, and I think you will love it. Thanks for joining me on this fourth episode of the On Waters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, or you can check me out on YouTube. And we look forward to the next episode. Love you guys!